You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. What a week. I'm really, really disturbed by what is going on in our country. The hate just seems to have become more present, more alive. It's everywhere. I feel it. And I believe that most Americans feel it. But what are we going to do about it? El Paso, Dayton, makes more than 251 mass shootings in our country in the past 216 days. More shootings than days in the year. What's causing it? Why do people feel that they need to take action against those they don't like? Once again, we have to sit back, reflect, but do more than the prayers and the hugs and the tears. We have to take action. I know you're tired of it. You might be fearful, you might be scared, but we have to do something about it. These numbers, we just can't ignore. Mass shootings in America seem like a never-ending nightmare. After El Paso and Dayton, and then the weekend before, another shooting in Gilroy, California, another shooting in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, and it doesn't even account for the average 100-plus gun deaths that aren't a part of mass shootings, but happen every day in the United States. And if you add the racial factor here, this is the worst racial hate crime since 1928, the Tulsa Massacre. And if you're not familiar with the Tulsa Massacre, I encourage you to please research that tragedy. Why does this keep happening? And why am I talking about it? This show is If You Only Knew. It's about sports. It's about talking to sport leaders. People are making things happen in sport. What is the connection? I believe that the power of sports can make a difference here, just like in other domains. But sport has oftentimes opened up a window of conversation, of policy for our country. But it's also been the mirror of what's going on in our country. Because certainly sport is not immune to the hatred, to the racism, to the exclusion that happens each and every day in our classrooms, in our corporate boardrooms, in our academic institutions. Guns are the problem. First off, our gun laws are weak. They're sorry. Or as the young people say, they're a hot mess. If you look at other developed nations, and I'm very careful when I say developed, when you think about what's going on in terms of our violence and hate in the United States, who's to say that we are developed? But they require, other countries require at least one background check. And then something else, more rigorous, beyond that to get a gun. And we can't figure that out here. Is this about the politics? Is it red, blue? Is it liberal, progressive versus conservative? What about humanity? What about dignity? What about caring for one another, regardless of the disagreement? Why does it end up in violence? And of course, a whole nother subject, mass incarceration. We've got a problem. The current federal law is filled with loopholes. And certainly, we can question the poor enforcement. And that's why some people say, oh, we don't need gun reform. We just need to have better enforcement. I strongly disagree. We have too many loopholes, weak gun laws. And then we've got the inconsistencies across states. So if you live in a state, reside in a state, where the laws are tougher than the federal laws, well, shoot, just drive across state lines. Go get your gun someplace else and bring it home and be a terror and a threat to your own family. And of course, we definitely have too many guns. In 2017, the estimated number of civilian-owned firearms in the United States was 120.5 guns per 100 residents. Yes, we have more firearms than people in our country. Well, surely we're on par with England, France, Canada. No. We are actually ranked ahead of Yemen, Serbia, Cyprus, Bosnia, Malta. We've got issues, folks. Yemen had 52.8 guns per 100 residents. We've got 120.5. Yemen, a quasi-failed state torn by civil war. And yet we need more guns. And since we have all these guns, is it really solving the mass shootings? If everybody had a holster in their favorite firearm, do you think we'd really be able to stop mass shootings? Well, law enforcement, they say no. In fact, we get in the way. We probably hurt somebody. We hurt ourselves. But who's listening to law enforcement, who's trained and experienced and knows about this? Homicides by firearm per 1 million people. United States, we're leading there. 29.7. Homicides by firearm per 1 million people, 29.7, United States. Australia, 1.4. Germany, 1.9. Sweden, 4.1. Canada, 5.1. We've got a problem, and it is us. And some people say, and I think I need to think through this a bit more, because I know where I'm leaning. Some say it's not us. This is us. No, this is white America. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman on 97.9 The Hill. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. I'm in a very, very challenging place right now mentally, just thinking about the mass shootings and mass incarceration. But it's very, very disturbing for our country to continue to debate and wrestle with our gun problem. Homicide in 15 industrialized countries, United States, we lead. 5.1 per 100,000 per year. 5.1. On average, assaults in the United States are three times more likely to involve guns than in other countries, such as Canada, such as UK, Spain, France. Wow. And so I'm connecting this with sport, because that's what I talk about on this show. I interview sports leaders from all around the world, talking about what they do, how they got to where they are, how they influence, how they affect change, how they make a difference in our lives. And yet, we've got a gun problem. We've got mass shootings that, again, have awakened our entire nation, young and old, all races, all ethnicities, all political persuasions. What are we going to do about it? It only makes sense, because we're human, that we get into arguments, we get into fights. But do we have to solve that problem, that challenge, that disagreement, that situation, that concern with a gun and killing innocent people of all ages? Yes, this is a racial matter as well. We don't have domestic terrorism laws And so our justice system, our criminal justice system, system wrestles with how we can prosecute, how we can bring these criminals to justice, to lock them up, throw away the key. Researchers have found that stricter gun laws could help, but we're stuck. I closed the last segment mentioning that this is us, and there are some who would argue that this is white America. This is politics. We've got to figure it out. I almost feel that we're doomed. We just continue to go over and over, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. What are we going to do about it? Can sport help out? Well, certainly there's a history of athlete activists who stood up to the system, who stood up to the politicians, who've galvanized millions of people to try to make a difference, to bring about change. One of our most celebrated, of course, is Muhammad Ali. This GOAT, greatest of all time, was a 25-year-old undefeated world heavyweight champion when he refused to serve in the Vietnam War, citing his religious beliefs. A lot of people did not like Ali back then, but today, may he rest in peace, people celebrate him. We definitely in the world of basketball can look at Bill Russell, Hall of Famer, Boston Celtics player, then coach. He was unwelcome in Boston, a city that he won 11 championships for. But eventually, Boston came around, America came around. Russell participated in the 1963 March on Washington. And he was on Ali's side when Ali refused to serve in the military. When activist Medgar Evers was assassinated, Bill Russell, he went to Jackson, Mississippi to ask his brother how he could help. Now, this was just months after the Celtics had won their fifth straight title. More recently, the St. Louis Rams. The Rams made the loudest statement following Darren Wilson's non-indictment in the wake of Michael Brown's death in New York. In week 13 of the year against the Raiders, the tight end Jared Cook, receiver Stedman Bailey, Kenny Britt, Chris Givens, and Tavon Austin came out of the tunnel with all cameras on them, all eyes in the stadium on them, with their hands raised as a display of solidarity. Don't shoot. Very, very powerful. And of course, most people who are keeping up with social activism have to point to the king, LeBron James. LeBron James has spoken up time and time again around issues with hate, with exclusion, equity. He and his 2011-12 Miami Heat teammates, they had their hoodies on to support Trayvon Martin. They also worked behind the scenes to mobilize NBA players, to pressure the NBA to do something around the racist actions of former Clippers owner Donald Sterling. He's also emphasized education action, putting his money and his mouth to truth. His foundation teamed up with the University of Akron and J.P. Morgan Chase in a program that awards students for four-year scholarships to the university. And then, of course, more recently, Megan Rapinoe, showing support in terms of equity for women and also injustice to people of color, in particular black people, and supporting Colin Kaepernick in his silent protest. So we've got a gun problem, America. What are we going to do about it? I'm hopeful that athletes, more of them will become athlete activists, use their platform, whether it's in high school, college, or pros. You have a microphone. You have a fan base. You have your own personal brand. You may work for an employer, but that employer has to respect you as a human being, should respect you as a human being, and not silence your voice, and especially when it means you're standing up for humanity and justice. Mobilize, organize, speak the truth. And for many prominent athletes, they were not born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They live in that community. They have family who lived it, who may still live in that community. Where's your voice, athlete? We need your help. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. I'm talking about hate and the power of sport. We've got a problem in America. We've got too many guns. We have weak gun laws. We seem to have lost our way, if we ever had it, which is questionable. That's worthy of a debate or a discussion. Is what's happening right now the real America? Have we been living in the Matrix, thinking that we really cared about one another? That we really support love, forgiveness, peace, justice, equity? Well, we've had so many mass shootings over the years, and for some reason, the people, the voice, the call for change, for gun reform, were stuck. Is it racism? Is it greed? Is it fear? Is it capitalism? What prevents us from taking care of one another? Do we all live in these various pockets across the nation where we say that it can't happen to us? Could we have a mass shooting in Chapel Hill, Carrboro? Is it possible? And then, of course, it seems like we keep going back to mental health. The shooters were just lost. They lost their mind. They were crazy. Such an outlier. They were just a loner. They didn't have any friends. Well, there's no doubt there's something wrong with someone who pulls the trigger as representation of their values. I don't like you. I'm going to take your life. You are taking over what's mine. Yes, there is some form of psychosis, but not all shooters have this. In fact, the research shows that mass shooters have only a small fraction of mental health issues. And they're stronger predictors of someone becoming a mass shooter. A strong sense of resentment, desire for infamy, copycat of other shooters, past domestic violence, narcissism, and access to firearms. So if we can eliminate one of these other predictors, which is much stronger, why aren't we moving in that direction? Shouldn't we try to eliminate one factor? We have too many guns. We have easy access to guns. And of course, the other thing that keeps popping up is now it's video games. There is no statistical link between playing violent video games and shooting people. And this is from the director of Center for Medicine, Health and Society at Vanderbilt. There was also a study in 2004 conducted by the Secret Service and the Education Department and found that 12% of the perperpetrators and more than 36 school shootings showed any interest in violent video games. But yet, our lawmakers, some criminal justice professionals, and even public figures continue to blame the gaming industry. We've got to figure this out. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman on 97.9 The Hill.